Welcome to Home and Family Finance with Paul Barry. It's your family, it's your finances, and it's your future. Home and Family Finance is sponsored by the Defense Credit Union Council, serving those who serve our country, and by CUNA, the Credit Union National Association. Now, here's the host of Home and Family Finance, Paul Barry.
As always, a pleasure to be with you here on Home and Family Finance. I am Paul Barry here on Radio America, and I hope that you are settled in because we've got a riding good fast hour that I think you're going to enjoy as we talk about things that we are all in it together with, okay? I don't know if that's good English. Probably dropped the preposition. But anyway, the point being is that we share everything together, including this wonderful time of the year. Here we are starting into the fall, just the beginning of that. Kids going back to school. It's exciting. It almost makes me wish that I were heading back to some school, I think, except that then you got to deal with the realities of meeting your new your new roommate. Oh, look, as I was thinking about this topic today, and I realized why it's so important for me to share with you, do you realize, listen to this, folks, every 2 seconds in this country, identity is compromised. Identity theft takes place. Let me say that again. Every 2 seconds, identity theft occurs in these United States. That's appalling. It's stunning. So if you're saying, well, it can't happen to me, just throw that into the equation and see what you think. If you're not careful, it will happen. There's no question about it. It will happen to you, and it's happening all over. And it certainly is going to happen even if you're cautious and your kid going to school or you're the kid is not. As students gear up for a new year of university life, hackers and thieves are devising new ways to take advantage of you right now. They're doing that. And why are you such prime targets if you're college students? I'll tell you, for ID theft. What can you do to protect yourselves? We'll tell you. And a consumer research group called Next Advisor has come up with some thoughts. And joining us to talk about that is Jocelyn Baird. She's a NextAdvisor.com writer who covers identity theft, security software, credit report monitoring, personal loans, payday loans, and photo cards. Jocelyn has experience writing in a variety of styles and has had her work featured on the Huffington Post. She is a graduate of Syracuse University. She currently resides in the San Francisco Bay Area, where she comes to us today. And we welcome her back because we had her on the show a few months ago, and she was delightful. Jocelyn, nice to have you back on the show.
It's good to be here.
Every 2 seconds, Jocelyn? Really?
Yeah, that is definitely a fairly accurate statistic, unfortunately.
Is this, I mean, come on, everybody, I just don't understand how we can live in a country, in this case, in the United States, where somebody is getting ripped every 2 seconds, some worse than others, but is there anything that we can do or should do collectively to stop this?
The biggest thing that people can do is just be careful with their information. I think people are still not as careful as they should be. Reading a credit card number over the phone in a public place, or you using public Wi-Fi to check your bank account, you're putting yourself at risk. So it's a matter of trying to be careful with your information, knowing who you're giving it to and what they're doing with it.
Most of us think people are like you, like me. That I'm not ripping anybody off. And so if I'm in a public place, nobody's really out there going to rip me off. And it's okay. I feel like comfortable. But that's not the case.
Yeah. And there are also a surprising number of identity theft cases are committed by people that victims knew.
Family? You mean family and friends are ripping off their family and friends?
Yeah. Unfortunately, they are.
That's pretty widespread, wouldn't you say?
It is. It's definitely super widespread. I had my own identity theft earlier this year.
How did you find out that you were a target?
Fortunately, it was my debit card number that was stolen, and I was alerted by my bank pretty immediately.
Yeah.
But shortly after, I had several other accounts of mine that were broken into. So I think everything was related. So it was just a matter of going in. I had to go through and change all my passwords to everything and double-check all my statements.
We're talking about identity theft. It can happen to you. Happened to me. Wife and I went to Annapolis a couple of months ago, Jocelyn, to have dinner. And while we were at dinner the next night, not the night that we were in Annapolis, I got a call from the bank. And the bank said, we think something's happening here, and it regards some at a Giant or a Safeway in Annapolis. did you just buy, or were you there recently and you bought $350 or $400 worth of groceries? And I said, no, of course not. I'm not. I'm in Washington. I said I was there night before last. And just that quickly, then there was somebody at the restaurant who had copied or phished. What do you call that when they take your card number? And that's what they had done. And that quickly had passed it out. And it was being used by someone at a supermarket. You feel so violated. It's like, wait a minute. You know, who would do that? The important thing here, and the reason we're relating this, Jocelyn and I'm waiting, is because we're saying to you, it'll happen to you. It will happen to you if you're not careful. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Jocelyn about college students and why they are perhaps the most vulnerable and what can be done about it. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. My guest, Jocelyn Baird, nextadvisor.com, and she's going to give you some tips. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
And when it comes to finances, we can talk to you about anything, and we will. Tell us what you want us to hear, what you want to hear on the show, what topics, and we will give you that. You can reach me here at paulberry.com or hffradio.com, either one, and leave your information, your questions, whatever it is that's important to you. And some of you who say, okay, I can write to you, you can do that too. Paul Berry at Radio America, 1100 North Glebe Road, Suite 900, Arlington, Virginia, 22201. And again, my website, paulberry.com or HFF, Home and Family Finance, hffradio.com. My guest is Jocelyn Baird. She is a nextadvisor.com writer. She covers identity theft, security software, credit report monitoring, and the like. Graduate of Syracuse University. She knows what she's talking about. She's covering this stuff. Every 2 seconds, somebody out there, you are likely to get ripped off. And primarily, why college students at risk for identity theft, Jocelyn?
Because they don't think that they are at risk, because they're not paying attention. You know, a lot of them are very new to the adult world. They're not used to being in control of their information. You know, their parents were always in control.
Yeah.
And another thing that makes college students great targets specifically for identity thieves is that they don't have credit scores. They don't have credit, built up. So they're clean slates almost, which is very, very valuable for someone looking for clean credit to use.
I see. So if they look and know that you have no downsides on your credit report, you're a perfect target.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically.
Are there certain scams that target the college students in specific?
It's not a scam exactly, but, you know, we all get the pre-approved credit card offers in the mail, and college students are very prime targets for that, you know, because, you know, they don't have credit yet. They're looking to establish it. They're great targets for the credit card companies. And they get these offers in the mail, and a lot of them just throw them away without even opening them. And what they don't realize is that all kinds of information about you is contained within those credit card offers. So you want to completely destroy those before you get rid of them.
Wow.
And then...
Wow, I never thought about that. So wait a minute, just before you get, so you just toss that in the mail into the trash, but it's because they've pulled up all this information. It's all right there in the letter.
Yeah, it's all there. I know that before I started this job, you know, I would just toss those in the trash. I'd maybe rip them in half, but I'd just toss them in there. Now I shred them.
Okay. What else, Jocelyn?
When you go to school, especially during the orientation week, there are tons of companies and organizations wandering around. They have clipboards. They have booths. They want you to give them your email address, other information. They'll offer, you know, free T-shirts, free piece of pizza in exchange for information. And I think college students kind of get used to just handing out their information to anyone who asks who has a good offer. And that's a very good way for somebody to get in there and pretend to be someone, you know, legitimate and get a bunch of information from people without them realizing it.
And they're doing it. I mean, the important thing, this is not a potential. What you're saying is that this is happening. These people are in the midst of these other organizations or other groups, and they're taking your information, and they will steal from you.
Yeah, and just the amount of information you give out, you know, even if it's a legitimate organization, you know, you don't know what they're doing with those forms. That's why it's very important to always read privacy policies and find out what companies do with these forms where you fill out your information. You know, do they go into a file folder? Do they get tossed into the trash? Do they sit on someone's desk?
Mm-hmm. Okay, here. This bugs me even today. Everybody says, don't give out your Social Security number, okay? Don't give it out. And yet, you go on a college campus, you go through the first thing they ask you for is your Social Security number. What are they supposed to do? If I'm in college, I don't want to miss a class. So do I give my Social Security number out or don't I?
That's a very tough question. That's one I go back and forth with all the time. There are certain times when you absolutely do not need to give it, when you might think you do. A lot of places, you know, schools, doctors, offices, they use the Social Security number as an easy way of identifying you. It's a quick way to pull you up. You know, you're supposed to only be the only person with your Social Security number in theory. So one good practice is just to ask, you know, do I have to get this? Is there an alternative? And also find out, you know, what are you going to do with this information? And depending on where you are when you're asked, you know, if someone asks you over the phone, don't give it out when you're on the bus.
Where other people can hear, if you got to give it out, make sure it's private. Nobody else can hear it but you. Just please do. Let's take a break here. And when I come back, I want to find out about checking credit scores and reports. Should college students do that? And what should parents be doing to help their children? My guest is the great Jocelyn Baird, NextAdvisor.com writer, telling you how to protect yourself as best you can from those who are out scamming, who will take advantage of you and steal your identity. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. You're listening to Home and Family Finance on Radio America. I'm your host, Paul Berry, and we thank you for joining us. Our program sponsors are the Defense Credit Union Council and the Credit Union National Association, CUNA. We thank them for their continued support of the program dedicated to making all of us financially fit. Somebody asked me again about the address. I'll give it to you very quickly. If you have a topic you want us to cover, write to me at Paul Berry at Radio America, 1100 North Glebe Road, Suite 900, Arlington, Virginia, 22201. Or you can go to my website, www.hffradio.com, and you can leave a message there for us and tell us what you think. Okay, we do care about your comments. Defense credit unions have been serving our U.S. military since 1920. Did you know that? That's right. Defense credit as nonprofit financial institutions, defense credit unions, they don't have stockholders to answer to. They have you, our member owners. It means lower fees, better rates, and always community-based, so defense credit unions understand the financial needs and challenges of a highly mobile membership. And because we are where you are, there's no need to walk outside the gates for service when you need a small dollar loan or just some real straight-up financial counseling. Right there on your post, on the base, on your ship, wherever you are, go to the Defense Credit Union Council. Of course, we all have all the other standard products and services like savings and checking accounts, auto loans, ATMs, and on anything you need, you can find at the Defense Credit Union. For Department of Defense civilians, service members, retirees, National Guard, reserves, and their families, Defense Credit Unions are there for you at all stages of your active career and beyond. Defense Credit Unions, join once, member for life. Go to dcuc.org to find your nearest Defense Credit Union and do it today. My guest is Jocelyn Baird, NextAdvisor.com, who covers identity theft, security software, and credit report monitoring. And we're talking about the fact that every 2 seconds, somebody's identity is stolen in America. Every 2 seconds. Think about it. And that means that you stand a good chance of getting ripped. unless, as Jocelyn says, you are careful. She's told you some things to protect yourselves. So what are we missing in terms of anything else to protect yourself, Jocelyn?
Something really big, because, you know, everyone's using mobile phones all the time, and they're not just for calling anymore or playing solitaire, is to make sure that you password protect everything. You know, you have a lot of data on your mobile phone, on your tablet, on your laptop, and people don't really think about putting strong passwords on their devices because they want to access them easily. They don't want to just sit there and type out a password, but it's really important that you do so.
Mm-hmm. Okay, folks, and it is important. And by the way, you say, well, I don't have to worry about all the individual stuff in there because my you can't get into this unless you learn my password. That means the original one, open up your phone. Huh. Look, they can do that, and they can probably open up the others, but it takes so much more time. If they open up your phone, make sure everything inside there, your accounts and everything, is password protected. That just what it does. It's frustrating to them because now they've gotten inside your phone, but they can't get inside these numbers unless they go through another process. So be careful. Jocelyn, should college students be checking their credit scores and reports?
Absolutely, they absolutely should, and most of them don't. I was actually doing some research for this interview, and I read a statistic that 50% of college students, you know, have no idea what their credit score looks like, never seen their credit reports. And, you know, it's actually a federal law that every person in the United States over 18 can view their credit reports from all three credit bureaus once per year.
Well, okay, folks, so understand that. And with a little time, we're out of time here. What about parents? What should they be doing to help their college-age child avoid identity theft?
They need to talk to them about their credit reports, talk to them about checking it, maybe do it together and look at what shows up or what doesn't. Mm-hmm. And also keep your students' important documents at home. Don't send them away with their Social Security card. They really don't need that. It's best that you keep it safe. Mm-hmm. And just talk to them about privacy and, you know, how to protect their information and how to be critical when somebody is asking for their information and, you know, ask questions.
Okay, folks, it's very simple here. Be diligent about your security. It's your ID that you're protecting. Colleges and universities are doing what they can to combat security breaches, but you can't leave it to the school. You just can't leave it to even to your parents. You, as a student, college student, you've got to do everything you can. And whether you're in college or if you're in school or not, folks, all of us are subject to be victims of identity theft. So please protect yourself. Jocelyn, thank you so much for coming in and joining us. Appreciate having you on the program.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, you bet. Coming up next, folks, we're going to talk about, well, stay with us. I think you'll be interested in paychecks, tips to protect and grow your paycheck. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry.
You be safe, smart, and secure with your finances. Welcome back to Home and Family Finance with your host, Paul Berry.
A very interesting segment there with Jocelyn Baird about, you know, when you think about identity theft happening every 2 seconds to someone in this country, it says to you folks that you're going to be a target if you're not careful. So be careful. Take care of your business because you're working hard to get that paycheck. Ha. Huh. And that leads us to my guest coming up, a paycheck. You know, I get a lot of stuff here. People write to me. People send to me. I get the email, primarily emails, just so you know. Many of my topics come from folks who send me emails and say, hey, here's something that I think you ought to think about. I think it'd be great for your show. Your audience would appreciate it. One of the things that caught my attention was an email that came in, and I have it here, and I'll just share with you. It says, hi, Paul. The American Payroll Association wants to educate workers on how to maximize their paycheck. Workers can strengthen their paycheck by following these 5 tips from the American Payroll Association. Now, I got that, and I'm saying, I don't know what that is. What is the American Payroll Association? And first and foremost, I thought, well, that sounds like a pretty interesting organization. What do they do? So I made contact and asked for a spokesperson. And I was delighted to receive a note that William Dunn, who who is Director of Government Relations, has the overall responsibility for APA's lobbying efforts on behalf of its members and the payroll community. The primary goal of APA's lobbying efforts is to help government succeed while reducing the administrative burden on employers. I said, well, that sounds like somebody I want to talk to, because Bill has more than 20 years' experience writing for, teaching, and advocating on behalf of payroll professionals. So we asked him to join us, and he is here with us. Bill, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Well, absolutely. I'm delighted. Anybody that's close to payroll, I want to have as my friend, okay? I mean, I figured out what it was you were doing, but I said, Payroll Association can't be a bad deal. What is the American Payroll Association? What do you do?
Well, the American Payroll Association is it's a professional association. So our members are individuals as opposed to like a corporate membership.
Right, right.
So they're individuals who are actually responsible for paying America's workers. So every company is going to have somebody who actually has a responsibility to not only cut those paychecks that are going to go to all the workers, but also withhold all of the taxes, and the taxes that they're withholding are going to fund our government.
Yeah.
The taxes that they're paying for unemployment fund our unemployment system. They're withholding your FICA to contribute to the Social Security. And they were also they're responsible for withholding things like child support, which is goes to fund America's number one social program, keeping children out of poverty.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some really big issues that
come before you, I guess, and you're involved.
Right. The payroll professionals are really responsible for some really big.
Okay, so I get it. So what is this? Is an organization across, I guess, people across the country, professional people who deal with payrolls, who have this association so that they can talk to each other and figure out better ways to do what you do. That's a great. And I guess you work for companies of all sizes and all sorts across the country. Is that make up your membership?
Yeah, we absolutely do, all sizes. Most of our members are larger companies, but we certainly do work with companies of all sizes. And our main purpose is to educate payroll professionals on all of the compliance issues, because anytime you're dealing with taxes, especially and actually paying people's wages, there are an awful lot of rules and regulations that go along with that.
Okay.
But we also have this insider knowledge of how to use the paycheck to help the individual workers.
Yeah.
And that, I was really hoping to.
That's fabulous.
And so
I know there were some five tips that you were going to share, and I'm looking at them, and I'm excited to hear about them, because the first one it says is you adjust your Form W-4 to give yourself an instant raise. That got my attention, Bill.
Right, absolutely. Of course, the W-4 is the form that you turn into your employer and to tell them how much to take out of your pay each pay period for to cover your federal and state taxes.
Okay, so you can adjust that, can you? What can you do there?
Absolutely. You can adjust that anytime you want, multiple times a year. And the idea is that you want to be paying have the taxes withheld that you are actually going to owe to the federal and state government.
Right, right.
It turns out that most people vastly overtax themselves. The average tax return this year is going to be about $2,800, and that's really astounding because that's the average. And so, really, if you're getting a tax return of over $1,000, you are substantially overpaying your taxes throughout the year. Mm-hmm. And I know that there are people that look forward to getting that big check from the IRS come tax time because they might think of it as a kind of a savings plan that they, once that tax return comes in, they'll spend it on something.
That's not the best way to put your savings, though, is it? I mean, keeping the money from yourself for a year, you don't get interest on it, do you?
Right. Exactly. That's exactly it. Because you're basically giving the IRS an interest-free loan for the year. So it sounds much smarter to put that money into your own paycheck and steer that into a savings account where you can actually earn interest on it yourself.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And it's still your money. Use it while you can, as opposed to waiting till April to get a return. You also say taking advantage of flexible spending accounts. What are you talking about there? What does that mean?
Yeah, flexible spending accounts are it's a vehicle to help people save somewhere between 35-40% on some everyday expenses. The flexible spending account is an employer provided benefit, and usually they come in two different types. There's an FSA for dependent care and another for medical care accounts.
Okay.
And like I said, these are tax advantaged because you have money set aside pre-tax, and then for the dependent care, you can pay for say daycare for your children or qualified summer camp, maybe elderly care for your aging parents, and on the medical side, say vision, dental, medical. So you're talking contact lenses or eyeglasses, doctor visits, prescription medicines, dental visits, braces.
Right. So you got to apply for those. And we're talking here with Bill Dunn, who is one of the folks over at the American Payroll Association. He's the director. When we come back, we'll learn more. These are fascinating things that are there for you folks. You just got to know about them, know how to deal with it. Bill knows how. He's going to tell you that. We'll be right back after these messages.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Barry.
And more about the American Payroll Association, made up of payroll professionals across the country that come together to try to figure out ways to help you save money. One of those, of course, as you heard, adjust your form, your W-4. Simply contact the government, say, or your payroll people, and say, you know, I want to up my dependency or the so that my money, the money I'm giving to the government, is less, so I can get into my paycheck. The other he talks about, Bill Dunn talks about, is the care accounts, the medical care accounts that are available to you as a tax advantage. How do you get to those, Bill? What do you have to do to get to take advantage of those?
Well, talk to either your HR or your payroll department, because they should have the details of any forms that you need to fill out. And generally what you're going to do is have an idea of how much you are planning to spend on whatever it is. Say, if it's daycare, you probably understand how much you pay every month for your daycare. So you plan that out over 12 months and set aside that amount of money. And then what your payroll department would do is take that amount and divide it out, so they're taking a little bit each pay period to cover that amount.
Okay, and then that makes it tax-free at that point, right?
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. So right there, you're saving a bundle of money just on those taxes.
Right. Okay. And the same thing with the medical care accounts, I guess.
Right. Right. And that can be a little trickier to guess what, because obviously you don't know that you're going to break your leg in the middle of the year or something. But some things are certainly easy to plan. Like if you're on prescription
drugs.
You know what they're going to cost, and maybe you have an idea that you need new eyeglasses this year, so you know what in general what they're going to cost.
I got it. Okay. So makes sense. Now, you also say participate in an employee retirement savings program. I guess that's like a 401k. Is that what we're talking about?
Absolutely. 401k plans are terrific savings plans. Some people don't save quite as much as maybe they think they can. One thing that's kind of surprising, employers might have a match on your contribution. Say if you decide you're going to put 6% of your pay into your 401k plan, well, they'll match up to 6%. And of course, 6%, maybe you want to put more in. Maybe you want to put 10% in. Maybe you want to put 15% in. But the employer is going to match only 6%. Well, if somebody is only contributing 5%, they're leaving money on the table.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have an employer match, it's the smartest thing is that the minimum amount you want to contribute is up to that employer.
Meet it or beat it, right?
Right. Yes.
meet it or beat it, but don't leave that money there because it's your money. It's kind of like a little pay raise, if you will, and it goes into the savings. It makes so much sense, and yet, but there are different ones. There's a 457, the IRA, but you can again check with your professional, your payroll professional, to find out what's right for you. Is that the way it should work?
That is absolutely right. Yeah, to find out what the employer is offering, and figure out where you want to put that money. And the 401k plan, it's like any savings plan. It is so smart to start early. Because once you get compound interest involved, you know, where you earn interest one
right.
quarter, but then that itself is earning interest the next quarter. And when you get that involved, time is your absolute best friend. So you want to start early and stick with that.
Are people taking advantage of these things? I mean, can you say that the payroll workers in America, 60% are taking advantage? 35. Do we know how many people who are working take advantage of these programs?
I think somebody does have that number, but I don't have it off the top
of
my head.
I just thought about that to see. I hope we're doing well in this. I hope we're using these programs. But it's so important. Then let's get down to split earnings with direct deposit. I thought that was very interesting. I didn't know about that, but tell us how that works.
Yeah, split deposits are terrific. Of course, direct deposit itself is a pretty terrific concept. You know, let's start with that. If somebody is not even using direct deposit and they're getting a paper paycheck and they're going out to a check casher and paying to cash their check, that eats up an awful lot of somebody's earnings. That might be 3% of the check. So,
yeah.
You know, $500 check, that's $15.
Right.
And
Every time you do it, right?
Right, absolutely. So when we're talking about direct deposit, you save that money right away. But split deposit is something extra where you are able to divide your deposits into different accounts. So you might have the most of it going into your checking account where you can pay everyday expenses.
Mm-hmm.
Then you tuck a little bit away over into a savings account.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And where you just, you know, you just leave it there and let it grow interest. And you can put it into different savings vehicles,
right.
A savings account or a money market account or maybe an IRA.
And no decisions to make. You can't forget about it. Have it done right there. It's done. You don't see the money, and it doesn't depend upon your memory to remember to do it, right?
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And again, are people? I think with the new technologies that are in place here, people are starting to say, "Okay, yeah, this can be easy, and to my favor." My guest is Bill Dunn. He is the American Payroll Association's Director of Government Relations, with the overall responsibility for ABA's lobbying efforts on behalf of its members and the payroll community. Nice to have him on our show as we talk about how the payroll, at the payroll level, you can save. When we come back, you'll have some other ideas that might be beneficial to you. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry. You're listening to Open Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry. Radio America is how we get to you, and I hope you're tuning into us, and you will do it every week. This show is about your finances, about making you a smarter, more effective, educated consumer. Simple as that. My guest is Bill Dunn. He's Director of Government Relations for the American Payroll Association. These associations are very important across the country, and there are all kinds of associations, because it brings together the smart minds of professionals under a particular umbrella, in this case, payroll. Who better to think about how ways to help you save money? And that's exactly what they're talking about, and that's what we're talking about today. We've gone through a number of things that you can do: adjusting your W-4, taking advantage of flexible spending accounts, participating in an employee retirement savings program, split earnings with direct deposit. And the one I think is interesting here is you utilize commuter benefit plans. What is that? What is that?
Well, the commuter benefit plans are—it's an employer-provided benefit that helps individuals cut the cost of their commute, especially in urban areas where we have, we're in the D.C. area. We have a terrific metro system. We have a bus system. Well, if we're taking the metro every day or taking buses every day, we pretty much know what our commute is, and if our employer is offering this benefit, we can get that done on a pre-tax basis. We can pay for that before taxes. So mm-hmm. you're automatically, depending on what your tax bracket is, say you're in the 30% tax bracket, you're going to save 30% on your commuter costs.
Wow. And it's right there for you, Bill. I mean, all you have to do is take advantage of it. And it's not like some program that might happen. It's available to you now, which saves you money, your tax dollars, but you have to apply for it, right?
Absolutely. You have to apply for it. There are benefits that are being offered that people just think, oh, I have to fill out some paperwork, so maybe I don't want to do that. But, boy, it's costly if you're not taking advantage of these.
Absolutely. Isn't the payroll week or something coming up very soon?
Yes, absolutely. It's Labor Day week. So September 7th through the 11th is National Payroll Week. And we celebrate our members and we celebrate what payroll professionals do for America basically funding the federal government through the tax withholdings. We have a couple ideas that everybody can do to help celebrate that. And one very simple thing is sending your payroll department a thank you note for getting your paycheck
yeah.
every week.
Absolutely.
Payroll is a funny thing. There's you just absolutely expect it to be right every single week.
And God forbid if it isn't, boy, you're all over you get to know them when it's not right. That's for sure. You're right down there. What's happening here? But you're right. There are people, those are professional people that run that. So anybody can participate in this. How do you join the?
Well, absolutely. And another terrific way to participate is to join our Getting Paid in America survey. And this is a survey that's open to absolutely everybody because we want to know how people are getting paid and how they like getting paid. And the survey, it's available on our website, nationalpayrollweek.com. And by filling out a few simple questions, there's going to be some lucky winner that is going to end up with a paycheck and a trip for two to Las Vegas.
Oh, wow. That sounds fabulous. Well, give us that website again. Listen, folks, if you're getting a payroll, you qualify. Give that to us again.
Yes, nationalpayrollweek.com.
nationalpayrollweek.com, and you can apply for that. And when you go to the website, I guess you can find out lots of different things about the things we've talked about today as well. Is that right?
Absolutely. Yes, there's a wealth of information on there.
All right. So what's with American, from your perspective, as you look ahead for the American Payroll Association, are you going to be more public conscious in the future? I mean, is it important that people know that you're there?
Yeah, certainly. If there's unlocked potential in somebody's paycheck that people just don't understand, that it's right in front of them, but they don't understand how to access it, we certainly want to help them get everything that they can out of their own paychecks. So our main focus, of course, is to the profession. We want to make sure that everyone that is paying people knows everything that there is to know about paying people, and certainly we want everybody to get everything that they can out of their own individual paychecks.
Well, I'm very happy that the American Payroll Association is formed, and even more so that you are director of the government relations part of it and one of the members there, because it's nice to know that we have a professional like you that's involved in that weekly payroll or biweekly or however you receive it. Bill, thank you so much. William Dunn joining us. Thanks so much for being with us. Come back again and see us, will you, please?
I will, thank you.
Okay, and by all means, thank the folks over there for sending us stuff along with it. We'll be back next week, folks. We'll look for you right here. Have a good day.